Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so incredibly excited to introduce you to a wonderful person who I have already been having so much fun with off camera. Give us a little insight into your origin story and who you are.
So whilst I was born in England and have been raised in England, my father was Spanish, so mixed heritage in that respect. Grew up in England, went to university in Newcastle upon Tyne in the north of England 30 odd years ago. That's when I graduated. It's just kind of, I guess, the basis of the podcast today. And I currently work in the north of England. Sorry, I work in London, but live in the north of England. So I commute most weeks down to London. And that's kind of where I am at the moment.
So one thing you just mentioned there is your own university journey back those years ago. One thing that I'm always curious about is, right, how we imagine our life to look a certain way. And oftentimes it looks very, very different than how we expected. What did you go to university for?
Well, I originally wanted to be a pilot, actually.
Okay, so there's that very, very different life path popping up for us.
Very, very different life path. It is something, not professionally, but something I achieved recreationally later in life. But that is what I wanted to do originally. Then I wanted to be an architect, and probably to this day remain probably a frustrated architect, but I do get to spend a lot of time working with them day to day. I ended up doing a building surveying degree, and it set me in good stead for everything I've done professionally since. But probably not what I imagined on day one I'd be doing. And whilst it is related to what I do at the moment, it's not as directly related probably as I anticipated all those years ago, back in 1989 when I first went to university.
When you were going into the university, do you remember anything about your nerves, your anxiety, what you expected versus how it turned out? I always find looking back to be interesting because we think it'll be a certain way. And with the university, we often think those years will last forever, but they go much, much quicker than we realize. What was your experience like altogether?
Well, I think the first thing, I suppose, is realizing, you know, relatively how young you actually are. I have two children. One of the eldest is 16. He's only 2 years younger than I was when I kind of set off. And it's a kind of complete move away from home. Are you fending for yourself? Everything up to that point has been done for you, or most things anyway. I was lucky. So it's a huge transition. So I think that the first thing is the adjustment from being in a home environment to then being in a completely alien environment with very different people from all sorts of different parts of the world and from different kind of walks of life, having to fend for yourself. So yeah, it's nerve-wracking, but exciting. And I think you tend to settle in fairly quickly if you've got a good group of people around you, if you're in the right sort of physical environment. So I went into halls of residence to start with my first couple of years, which helped. It was a bit of a stepping stone in terms of the transition before then moving into kind of private accommodation with kind of pals that I picked up along the way there. So the first thing is, yeah, it can be pretty nerve-wracking. It can be very exciting. The thing that I would probably look back on and probably wish I'd done slightly more proactively is just get involved in different things, try different things that I hadn't done previously in that first couple of weeks, freshers week. That's still a thing, hope it is, to go around and try lots of different things, you know, rather than just sticking to the same pastimes and sports and things that I was doing anyway at that point. To have my time again, that is certainly something I would do, and just throw myself into the experience a bit more. Because the one thing looking back on, I realize now more so than I did at the time, it wasn't just 4 years spent trying to get a degree. It's a journey, it's an experience, and it really is about experience more than simply the journey towards getting a degree. And I think if I'd realized that back at the starting point, I may have done a few things slightly more differently than I did.
What do you think held you back from trying new things?
Reservation, shyness, I think, you know, habits possibly.
Habits is an interesting one to bring up because you are in a, as you mentioned, a family environment. You're in a brand new one. How did that affect your habits out of curiosity? Because you mentioned you were really fortunate to have a family that was very supportive going to Now you create your own schedule and habits.
I suppose some habits sort of transcend your environment. That's probably what I found. And maybe it was an innate shyness that, you know, prevented me from kind of going out and trying new things, or a reservation. Maybe habits isn't quite the right word, but it is also an innate character. Because I guess some habits are just broken by virtue of being in the different environments. You form new habits. But I think it can be daunting, I think. It can be daunting. And, you know, I think if you had a certain sort of upbringing, you're used to certain things, seeing certain people, you kind of make a beeline for those things. And in my case, it was, you know, playing football and cricket and badminton and various sports. I wasn't so interested in, you know, acting or orienteering or things like that. Maybe I should have done that. But at the time, I just gravitated towards the thing that I like doing.
That's very common. We all gravitate towards what we feel represents us and what we feel that we're familiar with. One thing that you're mentioning is the transition, right? Where you went in thinking you're going to be a pilot. You're very much not a pilot today. How did that transition happen? I'm a little curious. Give me some insight.
Well, I was at the time as a kid, I suppose, my 13, 14, 15 through to about 16, 17, I was called the Air Training Corps, Air Cadets, basically. Did lots of exciting, interesting things, from kind of square bashing, as we called it, marching around in parade, to flying, to shooting as well, and all sorts of things in between. And it was great fun. At that point, I wanted to be a fighter pilot. I started the preliminary testing for that, but I'm left-handed. And that meant that at the time, whether it's the same now, I don't know, but at the time I could never be a pilot because of the control sticks on the right-hand side. And just that split second, slower I'd be with my kind of wrong hand, as it were, would have ruled me out. I thought, well, I don't want to sit in the back navigating, reading the map. That's not good enough for me. So that was the end of that dream, probably just as well. So then the next best thing really was being an architect, and sort of bringing out that kind of creative side, which through school and even through university, something has probably been largely suppressed. I've just been driven down this kind of professional, slightly drier route than perhaps my creativity would have ordinarily wanted.
How did you land where you are today?
Well, from university, I mean, when I graduated in 1993, it was in the depths of a very deep recession. So in the course of, I think, 45 of us, I think there were two of us that were lucky enough to get the job. And I was one of the lucky two. So I think a lot of my course colleagues went to sheltered in academia. They went off to do more qualifications and went off to do a whole variety of different things. So I think there's quite a big variety of jobs and roles and professions that my sort of cohort went into, simply because we all graduated in a horrible time economically. I then went and worked for a building contractor. So I spent 2 years squinting through various surveying instruments in freezing cold northeast winters, decided that definitely wasn't for me, and then went into town planning. So a little bit of a pivot at that point, 2 years in, not a huge pivot, but enough. Had to sort of retrain to a degree and get different professional qualifications, which I did on the job the hard way. Had to do that whilst I was working. 20 years or so in consultancy, town planning consultancy, and then 10 years ago got the opportunity to work for Tottenham Hotspur in-house, which is a fairly unusual role to have a surveyor and a town planner working in-house within a football club. And I guess in that time, we built a new training centre, we built a new stadium, and we built a whole host of things in between. So really, it's been pretty rewarding, because everything that we get permission for, we generally then the following day start building. So, you know, it's hitherto in my sort of consultancy career, there's a lot of report writing. You plow a lot of energy into a report to then go sit on the shelf and get dusty in some local authority office somewhere. But it's quite exciting in that very much everything we do then gets built, and it is quite rewarding.
Could you ever imagine that job existed when you were in university? I'm sure you never imagined that this is where you'd end up.
No, not a chance. It won't feature on any list, either at school or in any university, of professions that you can go into. The combination of what I do and who I do it for is probably unique within the sports world. There may be other clubs that got similar roles and professions, but not directly comparable, I wouldn't have thought.
I think that's a testament to the idea that we get so consumed with trying to fit into a narrow box of what a profession looks like and what it will mean about us, right? When there are so many unique roles out there that we could never probably dream or think of. And you never would have thought that your life would take this path, but from the way that you're talking, it seems like you're very glad it did.
Yeah, I think there's some basic skills that you pick up both at university and in life subsequently. I guess in my case, I guess adaptability, to be able to translate what I do as a profession to a kind of football and sports environment. Interpersonal skills, attention to detail, self-starting and self-motivation, kind of things that you really have to learn quite quickly in university, to get yourself to lectures and seminars on time, to get on with other people, to work in project groups, that sort of thing. And you have to develop very quickly. So I went back to that transition period. You're going from, you know, an 18-year-old that's been cosseted at home to an 18-year-old that's suddenly into the big wide world, having to mix with strangers. And it sets you up. And it has done for me.
It is. It's scary. So one thing I want to rewind to is you graduated in a time that would be considered economically uncertain. So many people feel that this time period is very uncertain. The people that are in university now, the people that graduated a few years ago, what would you say to someone who's nervous about the state of the world during their university time? Because you lived through that.
I think I've learned generally that it's the Rumsfeld quote. I can't quite remember it in its entirety, but I think it's, you know, there are things that you have some control over. And there's a whole host of things that you have no control over. And, you know, wherever you are in the world, there are uncertainties, there are conflicts taking place, there are things to be worried about, there are things to be worried about in the here and now, things as parents for us to be worried about, for our children, grandchildren, subsequent generations. I think you can, as an individual, do what you can. I think you've got to stick to your own rules, morals, principles as best you can, not always possible, but I think as best you can. Really just focus on the here and now, enjoying that, doing what you can do. Don't worry about stuff that you have little or no control over. Be aware of it and be educated on it, by all means, express an opinion on it. But there's just some stuff that you can't do anything about. There's no point stressing about it. I've also learned that I think sometimes, particularly at night or on an evening, the world can look a bit of a gloomy place. And then you wake up the following morning, the sun is shining, you think, yeah, it's not so bad. And more often than not, worries that you have about things, they tend not to come to pass. Not always the case, but generally. So I think it generally works out better than you expect in the end. So it's probably not something to dwell on.
Your life is an interesting testament to the idea that you can graduate or be going into the workforce at a time that's not ideal by any stretch of imagination and still experience all the pivots, the twists, the turns, and transitions to have the career that you've always dreamed of, or maybe you've never dreamed of it, but it's incredibly fulfilling.
Yeah, I think the thing to note, I suppose, is when you graduate or when you leave university, you are still relatively young. There's a good chance that you haven't picked up a lot of the responsibilities that I might have in life now, not least the children. You can be nimble. Yeah, you can look for an opportunity that, you know, you may be able to grasp an opportunity or take something up that might be more difficult later in life. So I think you are at your most kind of nimble at that stage. You've got the best part of your education behind you. You've got the qualification. You know, you're pretty much footloose. You can probably go anywhere in the world post-graduation. So I think, daunting as it might seem, you probably are actually the best position to grasp any opportunities that arise, you know, more so than you will be at any other point in your life.
I love that word, nimble. That's a good word. Do you have an example of a time that you were nimble and adaptable?
I think when I sort of crossed over from consultancy to work in-house for the football club, I, as is my way, sort of fairly methodical, Virgo as well, I had to do a spreadsheet. I need to analyze things and write lists and do a sort of, you know, pros and cons and compare things. So it went straight into a spreadsheet. And I kind of weighed up the pros and cons of staying what I was doing and moving over. And it sort of backed up my gut feel, which was to make the jump. Because I knew I'd regret it if I didn't. So it's proved. And yeah, I think even, you know, only 10 years ago, relatively recently, I was able to make that move and ensure that I was able to make such a move.
How did you know it was time to make the move? Because so many of us stay in career situations longer than we should.
I think it wasn't for wanting to leave my previous employer. I was happy there. I'd only just moved there, actually. And obviously, I had a difficult conversation with my sub-boss and colleague at the time. But it was more the possibility that the new job would have opened up. And maybe the first time in my career, I kind of took a risk, you know, and I thought, actually, I don't really want to pass this up. I may hate it, may regret it, in which case I can go back. But I suspect I might enjoy it. I suspect it'll be challenging and difficult and stressful, but at the same time, really rewarding and really enjoyable. And that's exactly as it's proved. So yeah, I think it just felt right to make make the jump. And I just made sure that I negotiated a position that sort of suited me in terms of the support, the travel, the hotels, working from home, whatever it might have been, to make sure I was able to do the job to the best of my ability and to match it and balance it with home life.
That's bringing me to the idea that internships, apprenticeships, things of that nature, sometimes take something that's out of the box, right? Something that might not be exactly what you set out to do, because it's going to grow you and challenge you and reward you in so many ways.
Yeah, I think it's any opportunity that's given, I think, and any opportunity there is to spend in the professional environment or any environment, you've really got to make the most of it. It's a good opportunity to test yourself, to test those interpersonal skills and that attention to detail, and all those different professional bits and pieces that you pick up in a new environment. It's always good to stretch yourself a little bit every day, just to take yourself outside of your comfort zone and to make sure you are developing as an individual, both personally and professionally.
And at the very worst, you'll learn what you don't want to be like. That's the very worst thing that can happen. You'll say, I don't want to behave like this when I'm in this position.
Yeah, no, I think I found that out when I was, first couple of years into my career, as I say, apart from the fairly bitter northeast winters, I looked above me and I looked at my line manager and his line manager and his line manager above him in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And I thought, do I aspire to be what those guys are doing? And I absolutely didn't. They seemed relatively happy in what they were doing, nothing wrong with what they were doing. Each one of them drove a slightly fancier car, but I just thought, no, that's not for me. That's not going to do it for me. That's not where I see myself in 10, 20, 30 years' time. And that's how I knew I had to move away from that particular part of my career.
That's an important thing to think about. And I never would have actually thought about that. It's an interesting point. When you looked at their life, did you evaluate personally and professionally in all the different facets?
Yeah. Yeah. All good people, all really good guys. I learned a lot from them. And I did learn a lot from that first 2 years, but I just looked at what they were doing day in, day out. And I just thought, I can't do this. And there's no point putting myself on a trajectory that will end me up in a place that I don't want to be at. So 2 years later, even during the sort of tail end of the recession, I decided to retrain, took a step sideways, really, if not slightly back, to move into local authority for a couple of years to kind of get the experience in town planning. And that really was probably the best move I made, because it then set me back on the path that I needed to be on and brought me to where I am today.
Your journey isn't linear, right? It does go sideways, goes back and forth, and sometimes that's hard to grasp. Now I'm going to hit you with a really hard question. What are three pieces of advice that you would share for a university student? They can be anything, personal, professional, transitional. What are three things you would say to them?
Communication skills. Communication, I think, it's been the downfall of many projects, the breaking up of many negotiations. Is so important in every aspect, from work to ordering a coffee. It's just absolutely fundamental. Early on, I was given a book to read called Plain Words by Sir Ernest Gowers. He was a well-known civil servant in the government many, many years ago. It's an absolutely fantastic book. I'd highly recommend it because it's well-written. It's a really easy read. But he's all about stripping out superfluous words. And it's something I come across a lot. It's always easy reading judgments and things that barristers write because they don't use unnecessary words because they have to use precise English. And when you contrast that with some of the dross that sometimes comes in on email, people become very lazy in their use of language, and it leads to miscommunication quite often. So work on your communication skills, always work on your communication skills, number one. Number two, always try and outwork the competition. Minimum of 5%. Do 5% more than the competition. Not always, but generally it gets you over the line. And if it doesn't, well, at least you've given it your all, left nothing out there. And then the third one, very practical, is the sort of the front page of the Times test. And that is never send an email or any communication that you're not prepared to see on the front of the Times newspaper the following day. If you're not sure about something, sleep on it, count to 10, do whatever. Never send anything in anger. And if you're not sure, consult with somebody or just bounce it off somebody. Because once it's gone, it's gone. And relationships, trust, whatever else it might be that takes a long time to build up can be gone in one email.
Mm-hmm. That is so true. To your point about communication, one thing I learned in one of my journalism classes is how often we use the word that. 90-some percent of that's can actually be omitted from a sentence, and the point is exactly the same. We also learned, I think it's always and never to stay away from those words. Does your book teach that?
Yeah, it. And I was lucky also, I had a boss midway through my career that would take one of my letters, and I thought I'd made my letter quite concise, and he'd go through it with, it wasn't red pen, it was green pen for some reason, I think he felt the green was less aggressive, so go through it with green pen, and he'd cut it down by three quarters, sometimes to seven words or something daft like that. And he'd give it back to me and he'd say, genuinely, does that say the same thing as what you gave me? And I'd look at it and I think, well, it does. It says, does it say what you want it to say? Yes. And he was brutal, but it stayed with me. It really has stayed with me. And it's just choosing each word carefully, taking the time to choose it, means that you write less. It means the recipient is reading less and they'll thank you for it. And it means it's easy to read and there's less chance of miscommunication. So yeah, it's something to keep on practicing at.
Is there anything you want to say that you haven't had a chance to say yet, that's really just been on your heart or something you wish you knew in university as a parting or closing word?
Throw yourself into it. I think experience is the thing. Treat it as an experience rather than simply a means to an end. Enjoy the journey whilst you're there, because whether it's 3 years, 4 years, or however many years it is, it absolutely flies by. The people that you are with will head off in different directions, different countries, different cities, whatever it might be. You know, you probably will keep in contact with a few of them, but not all your course mates. The other thing I'd say is the city or the town that you're in, that your university is in, get to know it, because you might end up working, you know, by the time you get to the end of the course, you might end up living and staying there. So get to know the city you're in rather than just staying put within your campus or within your halls or your accommodation. Get to know the environment around you, and I think it'll make the whole experience much more interesting, livable.
Yes, and that's a great piece of advice, even for the geographically challenged like me that get lost going from one street to the next. I've had a lot of fun with you. Your insights have been wonderful. The conversation has taken a really fascinating, for lack of a better term, direction. Thank you so much for being here, for sharing your insights, for sharing your story. I know we all appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Brooke.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.